What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Inside the D. Today, we are going to be talking about the Euro 2020 tournament. It's in 2021, but it's still called the Euro 2020 tournament. Very exciting. It's what we've all been looking forward to. It's going to be a fantastic few weeks of games. It's going to be a really fun summer. We're going to start off in Group A, and we're going to be talking about ECO's home nation of Italy.
I mean, I'd like to say Italy got niced this year with our group. It's not too difficult of a group, although Turkey is looking very nice. As long as we finish top two, we're okay. I think we'll be able to manage Turkey. In my opinion, it's going to go Italy, Turkey. And then for me, you know, Switzerland and Wales is kind of a toss-up. I'd say Wales 3, Switzerland 4, in my opinion. But that's my top four for Group A.
Yeah, I think, as Aiden said, Italy got niced. I would say that Switzerland...
Well, Eco said that, but...
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Eco said that Italy got niced. I would say that Switzerland, Turkey, and Wales are not horrible teams, but they're not amazing teams. Italy, I think, should pretty simply get the first and could probably go undefeated and get a really nice selection out into the next round. And then I do agree that Turkey is going to get second. Looks like they got a strong team. And I think that they've got a good chance of getting second. And then, like Eco just said, between Switzerland and Wales, I think it's a toss-up. I think Switzerland then Wales. So I'm going Italy, Turkey, Switzerland, Wales.
I've got the same as Luke. So like you both said, it is a toss-up between the third and fourth. I think it's going to be Italy, then Turkey. And then I did go for Switzerland. I think Wales is just not strong enough. They had a very good Euro 2016 for a team that wasn't supposed to make it far at all, losing in the semifinal, then beating Belgium in the quarterfinal. I mean, we could see that happen again. You never know. But realistically, Wales for me is finishing last. They just don't have a strong team. They've got decent players. Bale and Danny James are the only players that really stand out to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is a toss-up. Switzerland on paper should be honestly beating Turkey, but I pick Turkey as my dark horse team, so I'm not going to go against that. Turkey, honestly, I think could get a result against Italy. I think that maybe they can draw. I'm hoping that kind of happens because I'd love to see Turkey go pretty far.
I don't know if that argument you just made, you know, on paper, I think Turkey is a much better team than Switzerland. I mean, look at Turkish players this season. Yilmaz played incredible for Lille. Obviously, Çalhanoğlu close to my heart, but he had another incredible season. Yazici played incredible in Ligue 1. I mean, they have a great attack. Kabak, who had some experience in the Prem this year, he's faced some tough opponents. So I think that's going to help him. They, you know, they have Demiral, who played for Juve. I'd say on paper.
Soyuncu
as well, but he struggled with injuries this year. Yeah. Towards the end, he was good. But, you know, I'd say on paper, Turkey's the better team, but I think everybody's just underestimating them because they've never really done anything. I mean, this is the first national competition, I'd say, where they've had a strong team that can actually lead them somewhere.
Yeah, okay. So when I, you know, trying to counter your thing about Turkey being better on paper, you could argue that, absolutely. I mean, you look at the players they have. Mentioning Yazici, I honestly don't think he starts. It's a tough one for me. I think Under starts just because he has been favored in the national team. I mean, look at Under in the Prem. I mean, he hasn't really played for Leicester City. He's been pretty silent. A lot of people wouldn't even know that he's playing at Leicester City right now. Yazici, on the other hand, is actually playing well. I still think Under starts. Soyuncu's obviously starting at center back. I don't think you start Kabak next to him. I think you start Demiral. Experience-wise, and obviously Kabak not been playing as well. He's been injured as well. But, I mean, look at Switzerland's team. I mean, Sommer, Elvedis, Schär, Akanji, Mbabu, Zakaria. I mean,
Shaqiri.
Chaka for you. And then Shaqiri, of course.
Maybe soon not for him, but...
Yeah. Embolo, Rodriguez. No. I mean, they've got a solid team. They've got 11 players that I think are very, very good individually. And that's why I was saying it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. You don't actually know. On paper, that is why I think Switzerland will win. I mean, they just have better players overall when you do a position comparison. like goalkeeper to goalkeeper, center back to center back, I think Switzerland beats out Turkey, but I do think Turkey will still play better than Switzerland.
Yeah. On to Group B.
On to Group B.
So Group B, we have...
Well, wait a minute. Before we go on to Group B, I would actually like to spend a little bit more time speaking about the number one team in this group, which is Italy. I'm sure Eco would love to speak about Italy as well. As you said, Eco, this is a completely different team than the one in 2018 that missed out on the World Cup. Obviously, you guys had 2016 Euro heartbreak, losing on penalties to Germany. What is Italy going to do differently than these last two major tournaments they played in?
I mean, I think this is just, as I've said before, this is a completely different team. You know, back the past national tournaments in the past few years that we've played in, we had a very old team, a team that was filled with a lot of experience, but not a lot of quickness, not a lot of playmaking. This year, we're a completely different team. I mean, if you look at our last few matches, you know, 4-0 to Czech Republic, 7-0 to San Marino, 2-0 Lithuania, 2-0 Bulgaria, something you notice? A lot of clean sheets there. I think our defense is playing incredible right now. Sure, you can say, oh, like those aren't really good teams, but it's always nice if you can clean sheet a team. And it also shows we have an amazing attack. I mean, we have a very good mix of young and old. We have Immobile, who's just a clinical finisher. You just get it into him in the middle and he's scoring from there. I think this is the best team we've seen since we won the World Cup. I think we're definitely, a lot of people are underestimating us. They're not putting us with, you know, France, Germany, Portugal, all those teams, but I think we're definitely in that conversation. I think we could easily win this year, hoping we get nice with the matchups.
It's for sure a bold claim to say that a very young Italy team compared to what we've seen in the past should get a shout to be up there with teams like Belgium, like France, like Portugal. But I honestly do think that Italy's got a fair shot of taking this pretty far into the Euros. From what we've been able to see, obviously they're not playing the top teams, but a lot of their players in their respective leagues have really done well this year, which I think is something that will only catapult Italy further this year. And we've seen a lot of new youngsters kind of pop up since the last World Cup and Euros. We've seen players like Chiesa, who have really kind of turned into a really strong player that will hopefully be able to do just as well in the World Cup, especially against these, I'm going to say with quotes, weaker opponents. No Switzerland, Turkey, or Wales slander. But I think that we can all agree that they're just ranked a bit lower. But I would like to see Italy do pretty well in this.
As Eco said, they've been performing very well as of late with all the clean sheets. 7-0 against San Marino. I mean, San Marino is basically Little Italy, right? I mean, essentially that's what it is. But, you know, hey, clean sheet's a clean sheet. I'll never take anything away from that. An interesting fact, they haven't lost. Italy has not lost since 2018, September.
September 2018.
Run. Currently,
I think it's 27 games.
It's got to be something like that. I mean, they're unbeaten in the Nations League, I think, and the World Cup qualifiers. That's got to show for something. And then I have a question. Luke mentioned Chiesa. Berardi and Chiesa, are they coming off the bench? Do you start them over Insigne and Immobile? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they're different positions. Insigne is going to be playing on the left, Immobile up top, and then the right side. I think you got to go with Chiesa, although, I mean, they're interchangeable, Chiesa and Berardi. Obviously, Chiesa's an incredible playmaker, but, you know, the Berardi's had a great season. He's older than Chiesa. He knows a little bit more about the game, a little bit more experience, but again, they're kind of interchangeable. I do think, though, I would be worried, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, he broke my heart recently, but I would be a little worried about Donnarumma because, I mean, how is all this drama that's happening around him, that's happened with him in the past month, how do you think that's going to affect his play? Do you think it's going to affect him at all? I mean, it's a known thing within, you know, AC Milan fans that whenever there's contract drama with him, I mean, even recently, you know, towards the end of this season, he starts to not play very well. He makes these little mistakes, costs us goals. Do you think this drama that's happening with him right now in the contract situation, is that going to affect his play?
Most definitely. It's always going to be something that's in the back of his mind. not only now is going to be the time to prove his worth, that, you know, he should be getting that whatever 13 million euros that he's asking for, but also on the other end, you have that, you know, he still has to perform for his country. He's got to perform as a team player. Obviously, he wants his country to do well. And I think that he's got to take a step back and kind of be able to separate and just say, hey, I'm going to focus on my country. And possibly he'll be able to get a deal done by their first game, which I think is improbable. But that's kind of best case scenario, that they would just be done with that by the time that the Euros really kind of go into full swing. But I think that that's always going to be in the back of a player's mind, especially when it's kind of this high profile, as he's, I mean, Iko's not going to like it, but he's one of the best youngsters in the world, But it's definitely because he's new, because it recently has been Gianluigi Buffon, who's been starting for the Italian national team. So he's now coming into this new team with this thing in the back of his mind that's just kind of playing with him a little bit.
So I partially agree. I do think it will affect him, but not by much. I mean, you say he's new to the national team, which he is. He's 20. Is he 21 or 22?
Well, if you saw my face when Luke said youngster, like youngster, he's a youngster. He's 22 years old.
22, he's but he's kid. Been.
But he doesn't feel like a youngster.
Well, he's been with AC Milan in the first team for what, 5 years?
Exactly. 6 years. Six years. He's played with the national team as well. This isn't his first rodeo.
So he's young. Have you ever said first that before, Ego?
No, absolutely not.
This is his first rodeo.
I think it will affect him a little bit, but I think Donnarumma is so developed for such a young player that it's not going to affect him that much. I mean, look who he has in front of him too. If I'm not mistaken, again, I don't know what the starting lineup will be, but if I'm not mistaken, he's going to have Bonucci and Chiellini, the two most experienced center backs possibly in world football. I mean, it's definitely some of the most experienced. He's going to have players around him, and I don't think individually that's really going to mess with him at all, the whole contract situation and all that. It can. It can mess with anybody. It happens. But like I said, Donnarumma is so developed for a young player that I just don't think it's going to affect him to the point where he's making careless mistakes on the field.
And I'm looking at the lineup from their game against Czech Republic, where they played a 4-3-3. It was a 4-0 win, obviously a clean sheet against a team that's not horribly terrible. And their back four, their starting back four, was Florenzi, Bonucci, Chiellini, and Spinazzola, which I would say, I'm sorry for butchering all the names, Ego, but that was a pretty strong back four, a really defensive back four, which is why I think it's okay to play a bit more of an attacking midfield and forwards, because you've got really a strong defensive core, which Italy is really known for having a strong defensive core. But I think they're staying with what they're known for here.
See, I'd actually argue with you. I think our weakest point is our back line. Obviously, Chiellini and Bonucci, they're great players, don't get me wrong. I think their age and lack of pace is going to affect us a little bit versus, you know, like Mbappe, Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes, all these quick players.
Hard to go against those players no matter what.
Yeah, but I think, you know, our weakest point is Florenzi and Spinazzola, because Calabria being out, he would be starting at the right back position, but he's out with injury. So, you know, that's a tough blow for Italy. Florenzi, he's okay, don't get me wrong. He's a good player. Spinazzola, on the other hand, I don't love having him in the starting lineup. I don't like him. He's not great defensively or offensively. He's kind of just like there, and occasionally he'll make a stop, occasionally he won't. You know, it's kind of just a 50-50 with him. So I'd argue this is one of our weaker back lines, besides, you know, center backs, but our fullbacks, I think this year are not amazing. But our midfield and attack, I think we have one of the stronger, you know, front three in this tournament.
Just a quick question. What's the deal with Romagnoli? Is he injured or is he just not being selected?
You know, he was battling an injury, and he wasn't playing a lot for us. So they decided, like, for this tournament, just take a break. World Cup, we want you, like, healthy. We want you ready.
And he will start in the World Cup, you think, over Bonucci, Chiellini?
I think by that time, Chiellini's just, he's got to be gone. I mean, the man is, but again, at that point, we might have, you know, they have Acerbi, who's been pretty good for Lazio. Yep. Recently, he's taken a dip in form, but he's usually solid.
Acerbi, that's how you say his name, Acerbi?
Yeah.
You gotta teach us more Italian pronunciations, man.
C's is a C-H and C-H is a C.
And the double C is what?
K.
Oh, that confuses me. That confuses me so much.
That's too much.
Okay. Group B, anybody?
Well, hold on. Wait.
Oh, more Italy? More Italy?
No. Double C can be K. No, double C can be K or Chi. Like, it depends.
I'm trying to think of a soccer player that's got a double C.
Like Bonucci. Double C is, it can be a Chi. But like...
That's what, a double C. That's what confused me is Bonucci and then Chiellini, but it should be, you know, in English, it would be Chiellini, Chiellini. And Bonucci.
Yeah.
So it's just completely like the opposite. I got to do more.
Yeah, you have Chiesa. It's not Chiesa.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
yeah.
Ciro Immobile, which is a CI.
Can the single C be K as well?
No. It's always Ch.
So his name is Federico? Because his name is Federico. In that case, would it be Federico?
I think it's a double C. No?
No, it's a single C.
I'm looking.
Not a double C?
Pretty sure it's a single C.
Single C. Okay,
then it's
F-E-D-E-R-I-C-O.
Just an exception. F-E-D-E-R-I-C-O. There's
some exceptions. There's some exceptions. Yeah. Okay. That's too confusing. Any last comments on Italy, Turkey, Switzerland, Wales?
I think we should take a solid look at Group B.
We move.
I think this would be a pretty easy group. I'll happily start. So the group is Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Russia. And I'm going with them in that order as well. Obviously, Belgium is a really strong team. I think that's almost enough said. Denmark has got a couple very talented players. I think that's about it. I actually think Russia is going to finish above Finland. Belgium, Denmark, Russia, Finland.
Belgium, Denmark, Russia, Finland. I have the same thing as well.
Yeah. Who's from Finland?
Puki and Radecki.
Yeah, that's it. And then Russia, but Russia, they did well. Where was it?
World Cup.
I mean, they were probably doping, but then again, they were doing well. They were actually playing a pretty solid. They did get some easy draws.
Home soil as well.
Yeah, but they were playing well. Getting third isn't, I don't think, really going to matter. But Belgium, for sure, number one. No doubt about that. That's just like the last group with Italy.
Listen, I think Belgium's going to easily top this group, but I think they are very overhyped in this tournament. They're not as good as everybody says they are. They're definitely not better than France. I wouldn't even say they're better than Portugal. I think they're far overhyped. But I do think a lot of people are underestimating this Denmark team. I mean, you got names like Eriksen, Kjær, who's been incredible recently, and that's not AC Milan bias. He's been amazing. Braithwaite, Daniel Voss, who's playing in Spain. Hold on.
Poulsen.
Højbjerg. Whoa. Højbjerg, who's been incredible for Tottenham. Who am I missing, Aiden?
Why are you Christensen.
Christensen, Daniel Voss, Vestergaard.
Is he? Oh, well, he's Danish?
Vestergaard.
Wait, Christensen is Danish?
Yeah, he's going to start next to Kier. Vestergaard won't see a minute in this tournament.
Oh, wow, that backline's going to see. Oh,
I promise you Vestergaard won't play a single minute.
Mail from Atalanta. Braithwaite, Poulsen.
He's just reading up Danish players.
No, Mail is good. Mail is good.
Dolberg right back. From Nice. I just know a bunch of these guys from FIFA, to be honest. But
fair enough.
Doesn't look like a horrible team.
Well, listen, anyway. I think they're going to be a good team. They managed a draw versus Germany, I think, earlier this month.
Okay.
And, you know, that's really the only test they've had recently. The last time they played Belgium, I think, was Nations League. And I think Belgium won, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, they haven't really been tested.
4-2 Belgium.
Yeah.
In November 2020.
Yeah, they haven't really been tested. And I mean, I think they're a really good team and a lot of people are underestimating. But the main thing is Belgium is just not that good. They're far overhyped.
I think their age is what's going to hold them back more than anything. I watched a YouTube video that kind of went into this. They're an aging team. this really will probably be one of the last major international competitions where they'll be able to compete. Well, not compete at the highest level, but be in the running to be the best. Because we're seeing we're seeing a lot of players who are just getting older in their squad. You've got your Romelu Lukaku's, Kevin De Bruyne is obviously still almost at the peak of his career, you could say. But he's for sure getting a little bit older. You got Dries Mertens. Am I missing people?
Eden Hazard.
Courtois.
Yeah. So there's a lot of names that come when you mention age with this team, which I think is a really interesting conversation, especially with how fast the Euros are played. You have so many games coming at you at once that I think age and injuries may be something that hold them back from their full potential.
And we mustn't forget the starting center backs, Vertonghen and Alderweireld, also getting older. They're getting older. So first of all, the large concerns for me, Eden Hazard has been injured, obviously. He hasn't played for Belgium since 2019, except he recently came on as a sub. De Bruyne, still injured from that Champions League final. It is a concern whether or not he gets to play in the first game or even the second and third.
Well, their first game's against Russia.
Right. Belgium, not that I care about FIFA rankings, because I think they're just absolutely terrible, but they are ranked number one in the world. You could say they're overrated. That's fair. I can listen to arguments about that whenever. Lukaku is a different animal while playing for Belgium. First of all, he's had a fantastic season for club, and he's going to have an insane Euros. That's my prediction. I think Lukaku is just going to absolutely ball out. I think he could be the top goal scorer. He's fantastic. If De Bruyne is out, one player that we must look out for in the Belgium squad is Yuri Tielemans. He might even play if De Bruyne is back. You don't know. I'm not going to predict that, but Yuri Tielemans is one of the most underrated players in the Prem. I've seen what he can do against Chelsea. You know, it's not great.
Bang!
Obviously, one goal is not going to, you know, determine whether or not he's a good player or not. But besides that goal that he scored, Tielemans has always been an incredible player to watch. Very, very underrated. Belgium's always been one of my favorite teams to watch. I think that they could really, really make it far. I don't think they're going to win, but I really hope that they can make it far. And I think they absolutely will. Maybe semifinal.
I disagree. I think they're gonna make it a couple rounds, but once they face you know, an actual good team, their backline is just gonna let them down. I mean, look at the backline they've been running in you know, their past few games. It's a three back with Vertonghen, Alderweireld, and Den Aier. And if you're running a three back, you need pacier defenders, and you need, you know, very experienced and defenders who can take on, you know, the Ronaldos, the I don't know why I'm blanking out on anyone, the Mbappes. Yeah, all those kind of people. You need fast defenders. You can't have Vertonghen and Alderweireld playing as like wide center backs. They don't have the pace. They don't have the skill anymore. I mean, they're don't get me wrong, they're still good, but they're far past their prime. Yeah, and they're not on the level where they should be starting for their country.
Have a question, sorry to cut you guys off, but I have one question about the three back. Do they stick with the three back, or do they stick with Alderweireld, Vertonghen, and then put Meunier at right back and then find a left back?
Well, what they've been doing the past four games maybe is this three back system, and I mean, I would go with a four back with I think they're much stronger in a four back, but I guess this three back is working for the Belgium coach. I don't know why they would do it. I mean, you have to look recently, they just have not been playing well. They drew to Greece. They barely beat Croatia 1-0. They went on and beat Belarus 8-0.
They drew to Czech Republic.
Yeah. Drew to Czech Republic. And then, you know, if you go further than that, it starts to get old, but I just don't think they're the best team. They have a great attack, but midfield and defense, I get Kevin De Bruyne and Tielemans, but besides that, midfield and defense is very lackluster.
Fully agreed.
Group C? Oh.
We're going way too fast in these groups. I want to dissect these teams a little bit more, because I want to talk about Russia for a second, and then after we talk about Russia, I would like to speak a little bit about Finland, because I have pretty mixed opinions about them. But Russia, the winners of the first ever European Championship, if you guys didn't know, which is weird to think about. I'm guessing Yashin probably carried them to the champ. I mean, I can't imagine anyone else did. But Russia's a team that I was actually considering putting over Denmark solely because of what they did in the 2018 World Cup. No one really excites me in the side. Zuba?
Levine. Yeah, the only person that comes Levine, to my fine. Mind.
Zuba's doing numbers in the Russian Premier League. That speaks for itself. I mean, whether or not you want to consider the Russian Premier League a reliable source on whether or not he's going to perform in the Euros. But then you look at like Miranchuk, who's supposed to be one of the best players, definitely one of the best strikers in Russia. He's not really doing anything in the Serie A for Atalanta. He's not doing much. Nothing really too special. I mean,
I don't think he really plays.
That's what I'm saying. You think Russia can maybe pull off another underdog performance like they did in 2018, or is this just nothing?
It matters if they get tested for roids or not.
They're not making it out of the group, so let's just say that.
Yeah. Keep in mind, four third place teams can make it into the.
They're not going to be one of those
four. All I'm saying is Portugal in 2016 finished third, made it into the knockout rounds, and then won.
That's Portugal. We're talking about Russia right now. Hey. We're talking about Ronaldo and Portugal.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
Not Ronaldo in Portugal. Ronaldo was injured.
In the final.
Score six out of the carried them
for the
goals.
Rest of the rounds. You can't say no Ronaldo.
They scored nine goals in the entire tournament.
He's not as good as Eder, if he didn't score that goal, we'd be making sandwiches and working at Jersey Mike's, because that's the only thing he's known for in his entire life. Any comments about Russia, or can I move to Finland?
Go on.
Finland's terrible. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. They're not good. They're not good at all. It is their first ever European Championship. And I did some research and I found out not only is it the first ever Euros, it started in 1960, they've never qualified for the World Cup. And the highest they've ever finished in a European tournament was in the 1912 Olympic Games. They finished fourth. And they haven't qualified for the Olympics since 1980. So this Finland team is terrible. However, I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably the best Finnish team of all time.
Litmanen
didn't do anything. He didn't play in the Euros, World Cup, or Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Good point. So Timo
Pukki's clear.
And Radecki. Radecki's
clear. Doesn't matter. It's Finland. I mean, does it matter? I'm sorry, but who cares?
No Finland slander.
Yeah,
but who cares if it's their best
team? It's not a good team.
Jerseys are sick. They have like the Finnish flag on their jerseys.
Oh, that is actually.
It's like this one. Now it's like the Greek flag, but it's like Finnish. It's so sick. Might have to get that one.
Yeah.
100%. Who's the other Finnish guy? They have one other Finnish dude, like Lode or something like that.
I wouldn't know.
It's Finland, bro. It's Finland.
That says enough, I think.
All right. Yeah. Group C.
Group two. All right. So Group C, we've got Austria, Netherlands, North Macedonia, and Ukraine. For me, I am going Netherlands, Austria, Ukraine, North Macedonia.
I think I'd have to agree with him. I mean, if Netherlands doesn't top this group, I don't know what's happening over there. I mean, you just have to. Austria is gonna get second, but like they're nowhere near Netherlands. I mean, incomparable.
I respectfully disagree with you guys' decision. I do think Netherlands top the group. Don't get me wrong. Ukraine finishes above Austria, in my opinion. You can give me that look all the time. I have very high hopes for Ukraine.
You're dead serious, aren't you?
Zinchenko will carry them single-handedly. Only player that
you want to know, because I actually did do sort of a deep.
Actually, hold on.
Well, don't.
Malinovsky is very good.
Well, listen, I did a bit of a deep dive in Ukraine because I wanted to focus on Ukraine and Austria because I knew that they were going to be like this, and I figured you guys were going to put Austria over Ukraine. The one thing that Ukraine has is unpredictability. They have pretty much every position you can think of, you don't know who's going to start. So there's not really a real way you can really prepare for the games. I mean, they've got competition in every position. That's one thing that I think Ukraine has that other teams maybe don't have. Obviously, the big teams, the big dogs like France, Germany, they have depth, but you have an idea of who's going to start. Ukraine, you don't, in my opinion. You could switch goalkeepers every game, if any, you know what I mean?
I think on the other side, though, you've got to look at Austria's defense. They've got a really
Alaba is the only person you know in
and Hinteregger. from Frankfurt, and Lazaro. I know him from FIFA.
Yeah, of course.
But they've also got Marcel Sabitzer, which we won't go into in this episode, but he's recently transfer listed for a surprisingly cheap 14 million.
Wow. Really?
Wow. Yeah, I really want Arsenal to buy him.
What would you?
Because, you're not paying money. You're not spending.
No, I know, but when Bundesliga came back, I watched Red Bull and fell in love with him.
What would you pay for him?
13 million.
Yeah. No, sorry. What
I would,
I mean,
easily
what is he
pay
worth?
In the 35.
Yeah,
I would say maybe 40. I would say 30.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. So, but I think where they lack is offense. Obviously. So I think we're just going to have to, let them play, I guess. Yeah. We're just gonna have to kind of see what happens. This should be an interesting one, but it would be really embarrassing if the Netherlands don't top the group. That'd be a true embarrassment.
Well, you know, what's interesting is they didn't qualify for the 2018 World Cup or the Euro 2016.
So which crazy.
Actually shocked me. I had thought they did qualify for the Euro 2016, but they didn't. We should talk a little bit about the Netherlands first, I think. Big names not going to be in the Netherlands squad. Virgil van Dijk, Donny van de Beek. Two big names missing. For me, the key, the three Ds. All right? De Jong, De Ligt, and Depay. Those are the three.
That's the cringiest thing I've ever.
Then you also, have. At least I know what I'm talking about. And then you also have Wijnaldum, who has been Liverpool's most consistent player of the season, bar none. The Netherlands have a very, very strong side. Depay is getting older, but he's clinical in front of net. I picked him up on my fantasy team. I think he's going to bag in goals. The Netherlands are such an unpredictable team in terms of they could lose to many teams. They could win against the big teams and lose against the small teams. Whatever. They had a very good Nations League in 2019. It's really a toss-up. They're going to make it out of the group, and I'm not going to assess them any further until they make it out of the group and we see who they play in the knockout stages.
I think a name that Aiden didn't bring up a lot, but I think will be very, very big for the Netherlands is De Vrij, who actually had an incredible season for Inter. Usually he's not, you know, one of the first names that comes up in your mind, but he's been incredible. Gravenberch as well for Ajax has been amazing. And I actually think, no, okay, but he's going to come on and he's going to play very well. He played very well in their friendlies that they've played.
I love Gravenberch, but
he's too young.
Yeah, he's too young. Maybe in the next Euros he'll ball out, but he'll ball out in the U21 Euros. He's just, Gravenberch isn't.
Well, I'm looking at their squad. He's in their first team.
He's in the squad, but Eko's right. He will come off the bench, but Gravenberch is not going to be anything special, in my opinion.
Hold on. Go ahead, where they lack is actually goalie. Krul just does not cut it nowadays.
Yeah.
He won't be the starter.
He will.
Yes, he will.
Steklenberg will start.
From Ajax?
Yes. There's three goalkeepers they have. They have Cillessen, they have Steklenberg, and they have Krul.
Cillessen's not on the squad list.
Oh, he's on the squad? Oh, he's in the...
No, I'm looking. It's Krul, Steklenberg, and Bizzo.
Okay, he was in the preliminaries. I guess he wasn't as good. But no, it's got to be Steklenberg over Krul. 100%.
Krul's been the favorite. That out of four out of the five past matches, Krul's been the starter. Just in the most recent one was Straven, whatever.
Steklenberg,
whatever.
I mean, look where Krul's playing and look where Steklenberg's playing.
I'm just saying that's what the Netherlands coach is doing.
Yeah.
He's starting Krul.
He's got his own favoritism. I think we should take a look at their attackers. I've got it pulled up. It's Luuk de Jong, Bergwijs from Feyenoord, Depay, Weghorst, and Malen.
I think their offense has just got to be get it to Depay.
Yeah, but it is a strong offense. You've got Memphis Depay, who had a good season. You've got Weghorst, who had a really good season. And then you've got De Jong, who had a decent season. So I think that they're not particularly lacking in that department. And then another name that we haven't mentioned yet is Nathan Ake, who was really good. Hasn't played as much as We all kind of thought that he was going to, but he's still a really talented kind of quick center back to deal with kind of the quicker strikers of the world. So I think that he can for sure be a player that's going to be used almost as a utility. So if they're going against a team that's got a faster striker, that he's going to come on and hopefully be able to deal with that striker because of his speed and athleticism.
I don't actually have anything to say, but I was going to ask you a question of where do you put Ake, but you just answered the question. So
I do want to talk about a big game to look at when talking about Netherlands is, you know, I'd say the best test that they've had was earlier this year when they played versus Turkey, and Turkey just dominated them the entire game. They beat them 4-2, and, you know, a lot of people were kind of clowning on Netherlands for this because nobody had really realized how good Turkey was. And I think this game really showed us that maybe their lack of defense is going to be too much for their offense. Their offense won't be able to recover for the defensive mistakes that they make. I just don't know. I think this Netherlands team is either going to be really good or really bad. It's difficult with them, especially with the injuries. Losing Virgil, as we saw with Liverpool this year, it was awful. For Netherlands, it's going to be awful for them. I think they're not the strongest defensively, but their attack is very good.
So we all agree that the Netherlands will finish top. We all agree, except for the Ukraine, Austria, but relatively on how the group will pan out. Why is it that we all put North Macedonia at the bottom, considering they have a pretty great striker, Goran Pandev?
Yeah, that's the only player I know, and that's why.
Ilioski.
That's it. So
yeah,
I think that speaks more than a whole kind of tangent can, because when you look at a team and, you know, depth matters, but having a starting lineup matters too. I don't know. I think that they're just pretty clearly the weakest.
Yeah, they also have zero experience in any Euros. Don't even get me started on the World Cup or the Olympics. They weren't even a country until 1992. Okay, they were Yugoslavia, so it doesn't really count. Pandev is 35, which I thought he was slightly younger. I also found out, it was a few days ago I actually found out randomly, that he started for Inter Milan when they won the treble. And he started in the Champions League final. I had no idea. I thought he was sort of a random player, but he's actually a very well-known, respected player. But Pandev is as old as my grandfather. Like, that's really all they have. They have Ilioski from Leeds, who's a good little player, and they have Pandev. That's it. I mean, I love North Macedonia because their flag is cool, but that's about all they've got. I mean, that's literally all they have.
They have the same flag as Arizona. Looks very similar.
It actually does look similar. In my eyes, North Macedonia has two things to look forward to in this tournament. The fact that they get to play in this tournament for the first time in their country's history, and that the tournament's only three games long, so they won't have to suffer for too much, right? That's all they have to look forward to. They can play in the tournament and then just go home, because it's not going to be a fun tournament for them at all.
I think they'll have a good time.
Maybe. Probably not.
Not focusing on football the most. Just having a good time.
Having a good time. Why not?
Yeah.
Ruby?
All right. Yeah.
Let's get into it.
So we've got Croatia, Czech Republic, England, Scotland. For me, it is England, Croatia, Scotland, Czech Republic. England are looking really strong. They've got depth. They've got good starters. And we'll get a bit more into that in a second. Croatia, was it the World Cup or the Euros that they did? Really well in. Obviously, that was a very, like, thanks to Luka Modric. And he
won Ballon d'Or that year.
Yeah, he won Ballon d'Or because of this. But you can all you want. But he was really playing out of his mind. That was kind of the peak of his career. Mm-hmm. And then Scotland, they've got Tierney. They've got McGinn. That's all they need. And then Czech Republic has, I think their biggest would be Suchek, who's been obviously great this year, but I think
Kufal.
Oh yeah. But I think the 3 and 4 is interchangeable for sure. England is the one for me. I could see them going pretty far, into the competition, and Croatia once again has another strong team.
you did say the three and four are interchangeable. I am going to interchange those.
There you go.
To me, Scotland doesn't have enough experience.
They've
to
got Tierney, best left back in the world.
No, no, and also not. you forgot McTominay, by the way, a big one.
Is Tierney going to start for Scotland?
Yes, most definitely. Oh, and they've got Robertson.
They'll start both of them.
They're going to.
You think like one right back, one left back?
No. What they've been doing is a three back, five back kind of thing, where Robertson's like the left center back. And then, he still goes high, but Tierney goes like high and inside. It's like the craziest thing ever to watch. Like Tierney's basically a left winger, which he is for Arsenal because we don't really have a left winger. But it's very interesting watching them. I was watching their highlights. I forget who it was against, but it was just the craziest thing ever because there's two of like kind of the top left backs in the world. Yeah. Both playing left back, and they both play like left backs. So it's just a very interesting team to watch when you've got two of your strongest players play the same position. You've kind of got to figure it out. And they're both lefties, so you don't want to play them on the right side.
Well, that's what's funny about, you know, when you're a nation like Scotland, who doesn't have the best players in the world, when your two best players arguably are the same position, you got to try and integrate them both into the starting 11, which is what they've done. And it's going to be interesting to see it play out. But Scotland, for me, finishing at the bottom. But I'm very excited to watch them. One, because I'd love to see Billy Gilmore come off the bench and hopefully play well. Obviously, he's been dealing with bad injuries and has really been hurting his career. But I'm also excited to see McTominay. I love John McGinn. He's a player I enjoy watching. Tierney and Robertson as well. It's going to be a lot of fun for these youngsters. I mean, Scotland hasn't played in the Euros since 96. So it's been a very long time since they qualified. I remember the day they qualified on a penalty shootout and everybody was so happy about it. It's just nice to see that these young Scottish kids are getting a chance to play in, you know, one of the best tournaments in the world.
Listen, I think I agree with Luke on this one, actually. I think it's going to go England, Croatia, Scotland, Czech Republic. England easily going to top this group. England's not going to bring it home. They're not winning it this year. Their team is far too young to win this tournament compared to the rest of the teams.
They're ranked number
four. I think Croatia could be a little bit of a dark horse. Not go too far, but surprise people in the early games. I think they've got – their team is a little bit older, but, again, I think it's still a pretty strong team. I mean, people don't really realize Modric is still playing – very good. Rebic had a great season with AC Milan. Perisic still playing very well the past few years. Kovacic, obviously. Brozovic, who just won with Inter. He had a great season. They have Kramaric, who played amazing in the Bundesliga. They have a lot of pretty good players. Not a great back line, which obviously is going to be very important, but attack and midfield, I'd say they're one of the more underrated teams. I think they're going to be able to do a little bit. Not go too far into the tournament, but they're going to surprise some people. But I mean, England has to top this group. If they don't, then it's a bit of an embarrassment.
So I know you said England should top the group and they will top the group. When you say Croatia is a dark horse, what would you give them any chance to possibly overtake England?
I said a dark horse, like the first few rounds, they're going to surprise people. They're not going to go deep.
What if they beat England? In the group stage, is that
they don't have, especially with the age of their team too, they don't have the energy to go far. If they win one game, you know, they're not going to be able to go every single week, like every single day play. Their age is just way too high for the team.
So I've picked a very arguable / controversial England starting 11 that I'd like to read out to you boys, and then you guys can dissect it and make any changes you'd like. There is maybe a little bit of bias in here, but think of the mind of
a lot of bias in here.
Think of the inside of the mind of Gareth Southgate. What do you think? Abraham up top. Yeah, definitely not. He's not even in the squad.
He's not even on the squad.
I've got, and please, I'll say the whole thing and you can make fun of me all you want as soon as I'm done. I've got Pickford in goal, Chilwell left back, Reece James at right back. Since Harry Maguire could be hurt, I have Walker and Stones at center back. If Henderson is still hurt, I have Calvin Phillips, and Declan Rice at CDM, Mason Mount at the 10, and then the front three, Sterling, Kane, Rashford. Luke, what's that? What did I just tell me what I've done wrong.
Can I just go with my squad? Because sure. Yes. They're going to play, I believe they're going to play a three back. It's worked for them in the past.
I don't think they are.
They're I think they're not playing a three back.
0%
chance.
No, there's just, they're not playing.
I think they're going to go Pickford, center backs of Walker, and then Maguire if he's healthy. If not, it'll be Stones and then
Tyrone Mings.
Yeah, no.
James?
Connor Cody, possibly.
Over Reece James?
At center back?
I mean, Reece James has played pretty well at center back.
Well, then it would be a four back if you're playing with Reece James.
No, but... take out Cody is what I mean.
But then
you started Cody? Hold on.
Because Maguire's hurt and he doesn't want to start.
Yeah,
because
I want to, but I want to start Maguire.
By the way,
but I think that Luke Shaw for sure needs a big shout.
Where's he going to play, center mid?
A left back.
I thought you were playing a three back.
Yeah, Luke Shaw will start too. This is key thought. We're playing Reece James, Luke Shaw, Kyle Walker at center back.
Just ditch the three back. Yeah. Go to.
But I think that. For sure, Luke Shaw deserves a really good shout because he's played well this year. And I don't want to discredit anything that Chilwell has done this year because I've been a big fan of him this year. As a left back, I've got a lot of respect for Chilwell. I'm a left back. I've got a lot of respect for Chilwell and what he's done. Obviously, he's coming off of winning the Champions League, which is kind of the peak of European football. And you know, it's not an easy feat, but I think you also have to take a look at Luke Shaw because obviously he's not super young, but he's still a talent and he's really kind of proven his own worth this year. In what's been a really weird year. So I think that he's got to get some credit. Will he start over Chilwell? Probably not, but I would like to see him play at least a little bit. And then hopefully Harry Maguire can get healthy and get into the squad because he's obviously a massive part of this squad. And still, I still think he's underrated.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys what the lineup should be. Okay. Some of these players didn't get picked at all. Some of these players. Okay. By the way, this is without injuries. No.
Trent.
Goalkeeper, Dean Henderson. Right back, Trent. If not Trent, I'm going to go with...
Kieran Trippier.
Juan Bissaka. That's what he's going to say.
Kyle Walker.
Reece James, man.
I would say Juan... I just love Juan Bissaka. I think he's a great player. Tomori at center back. Hold on. Tomori at center back.
Wait, real quick. Harry... So far, you've picked every player that hasn't been in the squad.
Absolutely.
No, not Dean.
Hold on. Harry Maguire.
I thought he was going to say Harry Kane.
Luke Shaw at left back. The two DMs, James Ward-Prowse and Declan Rice.
A DM?
Two DMs.
No, Ward-Prowse a DM?
No Jordan Henderson?
A bit box to box. I'm not starting him. I think he's a bit He's a bit aged, and he didn't age nicely.
Not aged left like
I think he has.
Left side, I'm going Rashford. Cam, I'm going Grealish. Right side, I'm going Sancho. Up top, Harry Kane.
I mean that's a bold lineup.
That is the lineup that would bring it home. Good. But some of those players just didn't get picked.
If that was the lineup that would bring it home, then at least four of those players would have gotten picked.
The fact that Tomori didn't get picked, I'm not even biased. He should have 100%. Picking Tomori over Connor Cody any day of the week.
True, but they're not gonna. None of them.
But wouldn't Cody's a vet in the.
I don't care. Tomori's better. They have enough vets. Their team is so old. They have enough vets.
They've got a lot. They've got a good bit of youngsters though, which I think
they don't need any more vets. Need any more vets.
Okay, so here's my question. You said Grealish starts. Who did you say started at the 10, Luke?
Or I didn't get there, but probably Mason Mount.
Okay.
Or
where does Foden stand?
Foden, yeah.
Would you start Foden or Mount?
I mean, listen, they're playing a lot of games, so it's going to be interchangeable. Yeah, but I think that is their strongest lineup.
No, but considering now that Grealish isn't part of the squad, does Foden or Mount play in your eyes? What do you think? Because Southgate prefers Mount. A lot of people prefer Foden. What do you think, Ika?
Mount, just due to experience. I mean, he's coming off a Champions League winning season. Okay. You got to be going with Mason Mount. Obviously, Foden and Mount are going to be very interchangeable.
Yeah, they're going to be.
It's going to be. It's literally going to be one game Foden, one game Mount. But I would say you just have to pick Mount. He played an incredible season this year. You just have to.
That's fair. And yeah, you know, obviously Wan-Bissaka and Trent. I mean, if they're playing a four-back, in my opinion, Reece James is 100% playing. If I mean, I get if Maguire's injured, but if Maguire's not injured, then you're playing Stones, Maguire, and then Reece James could very well be on the bench and Kyle Walker could take over, which I would hate to see. It would make sense, but like I would prefer Reece James, but I don't watch Kyle Walker enough. I have the legitimate Chelsea bias. In my opinion, the legitimate Chelsea bias that I have is the fact that I watch them week in and week out, so I know all of their strengths and all their weaknesses.
Yeah. And I think that one of the main reasons that Trent hasn't been selected is because of his biggest weakness, which we all know is his, you know, defense, which really isn't great. And I think that...
Or his injury. I mean...
Well, that doesn't... Well, but that even prior to this... Yeah, no, right. Even prior to the injury, we were seeing players like... I mean, they've got a lot of right backs. You know, they've got a big list to choose from. They've got Kyle Walker, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Trent, Reece James. And it's not the easiest selection ever, obviously. But I think that Trent really kind of fits into the Liverpool system. And he fits really well into the Liverpool system. But that's not the system that England's going to play. And I think that a lot of players that have been selected by Gareth Southgate are players that are just going to slot right into his system. And Trent has played such a different system that it's just not going to be that easy for him to go over and just kind of pop right into the English system. And obviously his injury is really unfortunate and hopefully it's nothing long because we all love to watch him because he is great, but we'll have to see.
But there's just players like Lingard and Ward-Prowse and Wan-Bissaka. It just shows you how good the England squad is for those players aren't even making it to their national team, right? I mean, Ward-Prowse, I think, I mean, he's very, very solid. He's very good. Lingard, I understand the selection, but at the same time, he's been in form. He's been fantastic as well. It's just, I don't want to question Southgate because I hate questioning professional managers. It's their job, but you do wonder what goes behind that decision.
Yeah, I think that the Ward-Prowse selection is also a brutal one, but I don't know. He's obviously got a reason for what he's doing. Obviously, James Ward-Prowse has been amazing this year, especially in his free kicks and delivery into the box. We've seen what he's able to do. He's had, I mean, more than a couple just fantastic free kick goals. And just for that reason, most countries would want to select a player like that, but it makes you want to look into the future and just say, wow, this England team in 4 years is going to be really strong and a true contender for the title, which gets me excited.
The World Cup title, you think they can?
Any title.
Mm. Any title.
All the above. All right.
Well, I think that's enough of England. I think that's enough of Group D.
Group E, lads?
Group E. We got Poland, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden.
Ooh.
I feel like this is one of the easier groups.
Yeah.
It's going to be Spain.
For Slovakia.
Yeah. Then Poland. Should be. Then Sweden. And then Slovakia.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's put Sweden ahead.
That's what I said.
Sweden, Slovakia?
Sweden, absolutely.
No, I meant Luke. Sweden. I meant Sweden in front of Poland.
Yeah.
No. I thought that's what he said Spain, Poland, Sweden, no, Slovakia.
I know what he said. I put the same thing.
I'm in agreement with that.
I don't want to be mean, but like, if you don't have that, there's something wrong because there's no question of that. That's
see that because then we're all gonna look bad if there's an upset.
Spain's gonna get last. Alvaro Morata, the Spanish Timo Werner, is gonna.
I think Timo Werner is the German Alvaro Morata.
Did Morata win a Champions League with Real Madrid?
Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm talking about this year. Sure. Listen, I don't think we need to dive too deep into that. I mean, no, we can dive a little bit into the Spain. We can talk about the Spain squad.
Up the missing, Polish boys.
Missing Sergio Ramos. That's a big hit for the Spanish squad. This is another team that's it's a bit of a younger team this year. Their most recent friendly, obviously, I think it was Sergio Busquets. I know that's not how you say his name.
I love it. Got COVID,
so the entire team couldn't play. Spain said, you know what? Let's field our U21 team versus Lithuania, beat them 4-0. I think Spain's always going to be a strong team. Recently, they haven't been incredible, but you know the last heartbreaking defeat versus Russia in Pens. They have a bit of a younger lineup this year, and I think they're going to be good. Not great. They're going to be good. They're going to make it deep. They're not going to make it to the final, and they're not going to win.
Straight up. You know,
straight up.
You know, I'm not. This isn't a prediction of mine. It is the two center backs that I'd hope they play, and that's two center backs that don't have much experience with the Spanish national team. One who, you know, used to play for the French national team, never actually played. But that's Laporte. I want him starting at center back, and then I have, of course, my Chelsea bias. I want Azpilicueta to get minutes at center back for Spain. I mean, would you start someone like Pau Torres over him? Ego shaking his head.
Yeah. Pau Torres has been amazing this year.
So is Azpilicueta. You got to look at experience as well.
But you got to look at position. Aspi is not a true center back. Pau Torres is a true center back.
He's played center back all season this year. He's been one of the best, and he's won a Champions League final. I mean, he captained a Champions League final.
He's played wide center back, like in a three back. Yeah, he's played like the right center back, which is a little bit more as a right back. He's in the middle of the field. He is the center back. You've got to go with Pau Torres, I think.
Like I said, it's not my prediction. It's just what I would wish to happen, because Azpilicueta, he's always been that guy where he's right there. He's right there to play center back for Spain. Then you had Ramos. I mean, he was in the World Cup squad. I don't even think he got a single minute.
But he was there.
It's kind of like Giroud. He played, but he didn't have a single shot on target. We'll talk about France in a second.
Giroud was there for the looks.
He actually won an award. Not my words. He won an award for the sexiest man in the Prem about 10 years ago. So maybe you're right, Eco. Maybe he was just there for the looks.
He sells jerseys.
Spain, topping the group 100%, like we said.
Yeah.
We don't have to touch on the other teams. I mean, we can for a second, but De Gea starts, right, for Spain? That's...
I think his name's Unai Simon. He started against Poland.
It was Unai Simon.
I think De Gea is. It's another one that's just, you know, they might switch it up. De Gea for the experience, maybe, but
yeah,
he's just not been amazing recently. He hasn't been bad, but he just hasn't been amazing.
Yeah, I'm also interested to see how much playing time is given to Ferran Torres. And Adama Traore is an interesting name I bring up, because it's hard to imagine that he does get any playing time with Spain, but he's such a lethal asset. He's like, I feel bad saying this because obviously he's a good player, but he's the worst good player I've ever seen.
Absolutely. I could not agree with him
more. Strong, and he whips in balls really nicely, but he's kind of terrible.
Yeah.
He can shoot from range too, but he's bad. I don't know how to describe it. I really don't. I love him. I don't know how to describe it.
I think he's just not in the squad.
I'm pretty sure he is.
He is in the squad.
Is he?
Yeah.
Because I remember reading it and going, wait, where's Adama?
No, he's not.
Are you sure he's in it?
They released a preliminary squad, which he wasn't in, and they added him in the squad.
But a player that I want to touch on really quickly, we'll go quickly over this, is Gerard Moreno, obviously for Villarreal, who's had a great season again, who I've... I'm starting to feel like is one of the more underrated strikers, at least in La Liga, if not across the major European leagues. But, you know, you've got him, you've got Morata. That's basically their strikers. Yeah, so Murata, obviously up top, he's good when he's good. But like we've said earlier, he's the Spanish Timo Werner. So he misses quite a lot of opportunities, which having a player like that up front, especially if you're going to have a player like Adama Traore on the wing, who's going to be able to get that service in, you've got to have a striker who's going to be able to finish all those chances that are given to them, which is not Alvaro Morata. So I think that that's going to be an interesting selection there.
Morata's going to bag in goals. I mean,
yeah, you got to relax on the Morata slander. He's just, he's not that bad, man.
I watched a 10-minute video of him missing chances.
He's better than Aubameyang and Lacazette, so you know what.
Okay, okay. Have the Arsenal slander.
Is Lacazette going to start for France?
Absolutely not. Is he even in the squad?
No. No chance. Aubameyang is...
Is Aubameyang going to be playing in the Euros?
He's the greatest.
Aubameyang plays for his own nation.
He's the greatest Gabonese player of all time.
I don't know. His dad was pretty good.
Could he do a backflip though, or a front flip?
Probably.
You know,
was he the Black Panther?
He played in France with Mahrez. They used to play for France together. How crazy is that? Mahrez was in the Euros. That'd be crazy. Or like Mahrez. Edouard Mendy.
He probably wouldn't start.
Not that he would start, but Edouard Mendy could declare for France if he wanted to. I mean, there's a million players.
Yeah, there's so many players that could be French.
Yeah.
Well, not could be, are French, but could declare French.
Could declare for France, yeah, exactly.
Which is a very interesting conversation, but that will take this over 3 hours if we talk about that.
But
we're getting to the big group?
Group of death.
I just want to ask, because we talked about Sweden, would they have finished second in the group had Zlatan Ibrahimovic been fit? Alexander Isak can't do what Ibra can do, but, I mean, does Ibra really make that much of a difference for Sweden?
No. Poland's not a good team, but they're better than
Sweden. They're not horrible. I would say Poland's not horrible.
They have Litwa and they have Zielinski. Give me another.
Chesney as well.
Is Czech?
Chesney. Piszczek is... No offense.
He's retired now, but
yeah, just don't. No, but why are you putting his name with
Fabianski?
Relax.
Fabianski doesn't. It'd be
Bednarek.
Fabianski, the goalkeeper.
Huh. The Zielinski. I'm just reading names off a list.
Again, they have Lewandowski and maybe Zielinski.
Chesney too. He's like this. Chesney.
Okay, they've got a should be Ballon d'Or winner.
Every terrible country usually has like a good goal, like Hungary, like they have Gulat, like Finland, Radecki, like Finland, all the bad Finland, countries have pretty good goalkeepers. I feel like, I don't know. It's like the Who's easiest North position to have a good goalie. Play. Who?
North Macedonia's goalie.
What?
No, they're bad.
I was going to say, tell me you know that, but.
That would be fantastic.
That would be like the craziest knowledge.
Who is the Macedonian goalie? Should we look it up, shall we?
Yeah, I'm going right now. One second.
Yeah, you're the Google man. We'll move on to the group of death. But while you're looking that up,
Dmytrevski. Thank you, Fotmob. Stole. He plays for Rayo Vallecano.
In the Smart Bank or La Liga?
La Liga 2.
So Smart.
Yeah, 9 clean sheets this season.
Wow. Macedonia. You know, the first ever American to win the Champions League lived in California, but he was like full Macedonian. Like he was like straight up Macedonian. They like immigrated to like Corona, California or something like that.
Oh, that's neat.
I don't know. It was something like that.
Group F.
Group F.
All right. Group of death.
Oh,
it makes me so excited.
I can't wait.
France. Germany.
The Germans.
Portugal.
Really?
Hungary.
No,
yeah, in that order.
I don't know. No.
What?
really?
You're I not can't laugh because it could very well happen.
I'm saying France, Portugal, Germany, Hungary. But no matter what, that third team on the play-in games should comfortably make it through.
They're going to go into the knockout.
Yeah. So it shouldn't be a whatever, but that third team, I mean, these are three of the best teams in the world, obviously. And no disrespect to Hungary, but good luck. They're really not going to get a single point, and you've got to feel a little sad for them. But obviously, France doesn't really need to be talked about. I think we're all in agreement that they're the best, right?
Yeah.
We all, Eco, or are we all in agreement that France is the best?
Win the Euros,
yeah, I've picked them to win the Euros as well. It just makes sense. They've got so much depth. They're so strong. And especially with the recent call-up of Karim Benzema, which he did get a little injury recently, which was like, it just looked like a dead leg, but hopefully that's nothing long. But they just look so good. They also have made some questionable non-calls, which I think Ico would love to comment on Manon. One of them, if you want to go ahead.
And Teo.
Hold on. Absolutely. Teo. First of all, Manon did get called.
Did he?
But
Teo is left out. Manon might start. Manon might be their starter.
I think Lloris is going to be their starter, but okay.
Deschamps said Manon's looked the best in practice. But Teo Hernandez not being in the lineup is, I don't even want to get into it because any soccer fan can tell you that. That's just stupid. Anybody can tell you that. I do want to talk about Germany just for a second because I did arguably put them at second. They got the best midfield in the entire tournament. And I'd go as far as to say they might have the best back line.
Oh, yeah. Kimmich, Goretzka, Müller. Jesus.
Okay, hold on. Toni Kroos.
Is not Gundogan. The back.
Gundogan.
No. Luke mentioned midfield.
Sorry.
Kroos, Gundogan.
Müller.
Gosens playing out left, who's had an incredible season. Yep. Kimmich, as well, as we said, they have Havertz.
Havertz won't start, I don't think.
I think Havertz could start possibly at striker because I'm picking Havertz over Werner as my striker.
So am I. It's interesting. Yeah. I 100% pick Havertz over Werner in that position. But I'll tell you who doesn't, and that's Joachim Löw. He picks Werner at the 9 every day of the week.
Let me tell you, their back line, Rudiger, incredible season. Hummels, incredible season. Ginter, very strong, I'd say first season being good, being a very recognizable player, very recognizable name. They have – no, they play a 3-back.
Okay, I'm looking at their lineup. I'm like, this is all center backs. But
you also have to look a little bit at their bench. I mean, they have Kevin Volland, who's played incredibly. Timo Werner, if we're starting Havertz, whatever. Timo Werner, Havertz on their bench. They have
Serge Gnabry.
Gnabry's in the starting lineup. They have Neuhaus, who's had an incredible season. Sané.
I'm starting. You're not starting Sané?
I start.
I mean, it just depends who they play.
4-3-3, I would start Sané.
What I'm trying to say, Gnabry, they've got a lot of depth. Havertz. A lot of depth.
I got to say something about the back line. I'm not the manager. But they're not. I disagree completely with the three center backs. I think that's terrible, especially with the midfield. Kimmich at right back. Rudiger and Hummels at center back. And Halstenberg at left back. That's the best back line you can get, not the three center back. It's got to be.
Kimmich is the best midfielder in the world, one of the best midfielders in the world. He should I'm not playing him right back. I'm not wasting him at right back.
Well, he is playing. I agree with you guys, but the role that he does play is the kind of João Cancelo inverted fullback that does come inside. I do think that he should be starting in the middle. I'm not saying that he should be starting at right back, but he is playing in their possession. He does come inside as a kind of mock midfielder, and they do go into a 3-back. But playing him at right back is questionable because, as we all know, he's one of the best center mids in the world.
True, but, I mean, who's the one guy that –
But then who do you start at right back?
No, listen. Well, I'm the one who's saying that Kimmich starts at right back. But I'm saying who's the one guy that they compare Kimmich to? Philipp Lahm, who was a CDM, but also a right back and insane in both positions. Kimmich can play CDM almost as well as – or excuse me, he can play right back almost as well as he plays CDM. Mark my words right now, Germany will play the 4-back and you will see Kimmich at right back. That is – in my opinion, of course, we all disagree, or we all agree to disagree. The 4-back with Kimmich at right back, Halstenberg at left back, and then Rudy and Hummels in the center back positions. The best possible back line for Germany for this tournament, no doubt.
No, I, 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 just I'm not wasting Kimmich at right back. I mean,
you're not wasting.
He is such a good CDM, but I mean, even box to box, he's honestly very good attacking too. I'm not putting him at that right back spot. I think their three back works for them. People underestimate Ginter. I think he's an incredible center back. He had a great year in the Bundesliga. He's a great player. And I think a lot of teams are moving to this three back. We saw Chelsea, you know, move to the three back and look how well they did. A lot of people, when they first saw that, were like, what are they doing? Look at how well it worked out for them. I think Rudiger is going to be great in the defense because he's used to playing in this three back system. Hummels, he's a very experienced player. And then you got this new kid who I'm talking about, Ginter. He's a great player. I think this three back is going to work wonders for them. And I'm keeping Kimmich in the midfield.
Okay, so you say that maybe it's a waste for Kimmich to play at right back, but then if you play Kimmich in the midfield, then who do you take out? Gundogan, you take out Kroos, Havertz.
No, you take out Gundogan.
I'm taking out Kroos.
Halstenberg and Kimmich. I mean, I can't stress enough that back four and then keeping that strong midfield for Germany is just so important. It's got to be the back four. I can't stress that enough. I feel so strong about Kimmich playing right back. And the reason why people don't think he can play right back is because he's been playing CDM. He was a right back before he was a CDM. He was consistently a right back.
He's so much better at CDM.
I understand he is better at CDM, but people forget how good this kid was. You have to realize Kimmich was a player that burst onto the scene. He didn't burst onto the scene as a CDM. He bursted onto the scene as a right back. He made the conversion to a center defensive midfielder, became one of the best in the world at that position, if not the best. But he is so good at a right back, and people just tend to forget about that because he hasn't played there in a while.
By the way, I just want to say Trent Alexander-Arnold should make the exact same move.
He should make the German squad?
No, he should make the right back the CDM move.
Oh, he's not defensive enough.
No, he would be a sick midfielder.
That's what Reece James...
No, but the problem with Trent is that he gets taken too easily on 1v1s mm-hmm. is where he struggles. So if he has players in the middle with him, I see then not as much struggle.
I think he should convert into like a right mid eight. Or a right wing.
Yeah.
Or something like Ooh. That. Be yes. more right. He started off at the Liverpool Academy as a midfielder. You know, I look at Reece James, a defensive right back who can make that conversion to CDM. I mean, he's played in a Champions League match at right wing, and he's played in a Champions League match at CDM. Obviously, he's a right back. Reece James and Aaron Wan-Bissaka are two right backs, English right backs, that I could see making the center defensive midfielder conversion. Trent Alexander-Arnold is not one guy that I could see making that conversion. But Iko, I mean, listen, you never know. I mean, I'm sure he would still be a pretty fantastic player. But just look at the other CDMs. You look at Trent Alexander-Arnold, he's no Conte and no Casemiro and no Kimmich when it comes to defense.
All right. I think we got to touch on Portugal.
We should go back to France at some point, by the way.
Yeah, we need to do both still.
We skip by. And Hungary?
Well.
All right. Let's slightly speed run this. Portugal.
He has to go to bed,
can
by the way.
Field. No. We've just been going for like an hour. Portugal can field a very good team. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's their depth that struggles. They do not have a lot of depth. They have a little bit of depth attacking, not really anything in the midfield that's going to do anything. Not a lot in the defense either. I think that's what's going to struggle. Ronaldo is not as good as he was. He can't single-handedly carry a team anymore.
He doesn't have to.
But now they've got the backups of Andre Silva, who's done very well in the Bundesliga.
And that's why I said they have attacking. Okay. They have depth attacking, but midfield, who are you going to bring on?
Bruno Fernandes.
No, he's starting.
As a sub?
I'm saying depth-wise. In this tournament, you can't field the same team over and over. Neves, you need the depth.
Ruben Neves.
Danilo Pereira.
I should have listened more to that Portuguese on my For You page.
I know. Nuno Mendes, yeah, Bruno Fernandes,
Paulinha. I don't know who's Paulinha. He said he starts over Bruno. I'm like,
Paulinho plays
Joao Paulinho.
Yeah, but he doesn't start over Bruno.
No, he's not.
I don't know what this guy's talking about. Well, I mean, listen, this guy knows his stuff. He knows his stuff. He's a Portuguese. I get it. But, like, you don't – I mean, he says the manager would prefer Paulinho over Bruno, which may be true 4 years ago, but not after this season. I mean, come on.
Like, Bruno's one of the best.
They also have Ruben Dias and João Cancelo.
João Cancelo.
At the back.
Perfect link.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they've got to be playing Pepe with Ruben Dias. I don't think Fonte should start. I think it should 100% be Dias and Pepe.
Guerrero at left back, or
Nuno Mendes.
No. Guerrero
over Nuno.
Guerrero's great. Guerrero's great.
Incredible left back.
Oh wait, hold on a second. Wasn't he the one that had a terrible knee injury? Remember Rafael that Dortmund Guerrero? One where he like bent his knee pretty badly? It was either him or Dahoud.
I think he was playing versus. Not Guerrero. Yeah, I think he was playing versus Israel just today.
He did play today. Who was the one that just got?
Did he play today?
No, he did not play today.
No,
he was.
Nuno
Mendes
started.
Oh, he was not on the bench. Did Guerrero get hurt?
It was the one. I forgot about him. Guerrero. Yep. Yeah, he did get the knee injury. It was a bad one. It was like he slipped and it looked like he just tore his ACL. Like it bent back the wrong way. Yeah. So well, Nuno Mendes.
Little hyperextension.
Nuno Mendes started.
Listen, I looked up Guerrero soccer and he does not come up. I can tell you that.
Guerrero is spelled weirdly. It's like
Guerrero.
It's got that U with the
Guerrero. Yeah, that's how you spell it. Yeah.
No, you're not another wrong. E.
Okay, wait. What are your front three? I'll say my front three for Portugal real quick. I've got obviously Ronaldo, but I've got Diogo Jota and Bernardo Silva as the front three. You could argue Bernardo fits well in the midfield. You agree with that front three?
They don't have a right winger to play.
Yeah. It's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be Bernardo.
An alternative lineup that people say. I am not saying this is a good one. I personally wouldn't go with this. But that is, you take Jota out of left wing, you move Ronaldo to left wing, put Felix at the top, and then Silva at the right wing. It's a decent thing, but I say no. I say Jota.
Actually, it wouldn't surprise me if João Felix started and then they were doing the kind of switch thing in game, very similar to what Mbappe and Neymar do in game as well, where they say, oh, this is a weak point. Ronaldo should probably go attack it.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm not starting Jota. I think I'm giving that spot to Felix and Jota can come off the bench. Jota's had a good season. He's been good for Portugal. He's not proven much. He doesn't have the experience. I just said his name. Why am I forgetting it?
Jota, Felix.
No, Felix. Yeah, João Felix. Obviously, he doesn't have that much experience either, but he's a very good player. He's been very good. I'm giving it to Jota, or I'm giving it to Felix over Jota.
So you're saying Felix plays at left wing, Ronaldo at striker, not the other way around?
It's not really going to be a left wing, a right wing. I think it's going to be a left cam or right cam kind of.
So you say they drop back, and then you can do what Luke said, where they kind of just maybe switch it depending on.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just gonna be everybody get forward, and then like trickle back.
Let Bruno work his magic.
I mean Ronaldo, but sure.
Yeah, but
Bruno and Ronaldo
is in control right now. Together.
Did you watch Bruno's goal today? One of the I think it was his second.
One of
goal.
Them was nice.
His
right?
second goal
it was like
the outside the box, top corner.
Oh, fairness.
On his left foot as well, right? I mean, was his right foot? I want to say it was his left.
I think
foot.
It was his left foot going to left corner.
Yeah, like top left.
Who cares? It was a great goal. You can score that goal versus anyone.
Good goals.
Israel has Zahavi, and that's
Zahavi.
It.
Yeah.
Who's a?
That's all I know.
Good striker. He's got to be the best Israeli player of all time, surely, doesn't he?
I can't name another one. So,
I'm sure there was a. I bet there was a Zahavi of the 80s. It's like we're not going to remember Zahavi when we're, you know, in 20 years from now. Just like they don't remember whoever that guy was in the 80s or 90s. But
all right.
I don't know why we're talking about Israel. By the way,
France.
Quick look at France
real quickly about Israel. I think they can qualify for the Euro, not that they are going to ever, but I think they can qualify for the Euros and the Asian Cup. Like, I think they're allowed to, they're one of the teams that can qualify for like both tournaments.
Really?
I read something, I could
Nice.
be
Can
totally wrong.
Russia?
Russia, I don't think can. I think they they delegated
Huh.
to UEFA,
To
whereas I think
the.
Israel is kind of switching between AFC and UEFA.
That's really interesting,
Pretty
actually.
weird. Just
Don't
how
hear about stuff like that very often.
it might be one of those where it's like how USA or Mexico could potentially play in the Copa America. It's like one of those.
Even though they're not a South
Even though
American
they're not
nation.
CONCACAF, or excuse me, they're
Okay.
not CONMEBOL, they're
Yeah.
CONCACAF. Might be one of those. Anyway, just a random fact. But yes, we should talk about France.
Okay.
France.
Bro, they're so good.
I think there's really two major talking points with this team. One, we touched on it for a second. Theo Hernandez not in the lineup. Two, Tolisso looks like he might be a starter for them. He's
Yeah.
played almost every game with them. The
And he's
midfield
good.
looks like it's going to be him, Kante, Pogba, and then Griezmann kind of as a cam. Is that their best midfield? Is that the midfield they're going to be putting out?
I say yes. I'm not going to touch too much on Tolisso because I haven't watched him enough for, to give a real input. But all I'm going to say about what you just said in that midfield is Kante and Pogba. Kante in itself, he's just fantastic. Best CDM in the world, or best, one of the best midfielders in the world at the moment. I don't know if he's going to be playing CDM for France. That's why I said CDM, because he doesn't play CDM for Chelsea. I don't know if he's going to play CDM for France. Who knows? But Pogba is a different animal for France. I think they are going to be the best midfield duo in the tournament. Kante and Pogba are just, they're going to blow everybody away. And then you decide who you want to put with them, of course.
So, I saw a stat today that when Pogba and Conte have played together, they've never lost a game.
There you go.
Not once. Like never when
How many
they're
times have they played together?
it
Not a
was like
lot.
some 27
Besides
some
World Cup,
it was like
because World
20
Cup, they obviously won it.
tw
Did
yeah,
they go
but
unbeaten?
27 times
Yeah.
they've played together. They've never
They
lost a
couldn't, Aiden,
game.
they couldn't have lost.
No, if they lost like one
Yeah, they
game,
could have
they win.
lost in like
Oh,
the
like group stages?
Yeah,
Because
group
they
stage.
almost drew to Australia. I remember that.
Yeah, but I Pogba for France, we all know is the Pogba that we wish we could regularly see. Conte is Conte. He's gonna smile and be amazing.
Did you read about Conte's press conference?
No.
He was like, I don't know why people overhype me
Yes, he's like,
smiling. I'm just a normal person. Like,
I
people
did
need to
see that.
stop. He was like, people need to stop, like, going
Overhyping
crazy
me.
about this. I'm just a normal person.
Yeah.
I love
Like, he
Conte.
was like
Oh, how
getting,
can you
no, he
not
wasn't
love
getting mad,
Conte?
but he was
I'm
like
gonna
kind
love
of getting
Conte.
mad.
Because
He just doesn't like being in the like the
Yeah.
limelight, you know? Like he just likes to kind of be the player that just does his job and gets out, you know? Which
Exactly.
you've got to have a lot of respect for.
Agreed.
All right. Well, you guys can disagree with me here, but I think there's a very obvious lineup. Lloris in goal,
Yep.
Pavard right back, Varane and Kimpembe playing center back, Lucas Hernandez left back, Kante CDM, Pogba and Tolisso playing like center mids next to each other, Griezmann at the 10, and then Mbappe and Benzema, hoping
Yeah.
that Benzema
Which
is
he will be healthy,
fit,
I
and if
think.
Ben If Benzema's not, then you're putting Ben Yedder in there, I think.
It
Or Giroud.
says he's gonna
Or Giroud.
return June 7th. Well, that was 2 days ago.
This is not a, again, I maybe I shouldn't say that, but I'm wondering if, Tolisso obviously in great form. I wonder if, just if, because obviously we know Pogba and Kante could play CDM. I'm wondering if you put Sissoko at CDM and then put Kante and Pogba at center mid, because
Like at
they're,
the
I think
eight.
both of their best positions are center
On
mid,
the
not so much
ball.
CDM. But that does take away Tolisso and adds maybe a weaker player in Sissoko. That's why I think you got to call up Ndombele, put him at CDM, and then have Kante, Pogba. I don't know why Ndombele didn't make the squad. It's just
Well,
it's.
that's I think that that may be one of the reasons why they're not using Teo. Obviously, they should be using Teo, but I think that they want to get as many players forward and be as ruthless in attack as possible, which is why they're going with a bit more of a defensive back line. But also, we've got some other options for them. Obviously,
you gotta beat that. Hold on, Digne. You just contradicted yourself so badly.
They're going with a defensive lineup.
You said they want everybody forward.
No, they want their and that's why I started. That's why I started shaking my head
because I was like, no,
no. Okay, wait. Let me explain. Then
he's gonna rephrase.
Let me rephrase.
No. Let me stop you there.
Okay, do what you need.
Did you watch the? Okay, I watched the Deschamps interview about why they didn't pick Teo. It's because if they need a wing back ish player like that, they're just gonna put Dembele in, and they wanted Lucas Hernandez because, they want it more defensive, said in the end. Teo should 100% be playing left back. He's the best left back. One of the best left backs in the world right now.
Yeah, he's best left back at Milan.
I mean, if you're.
He is. What, you're gonna argue that?
Is he not?
Don't push it.
He's in the conversation for best left back in the world, no question.
Okay, cool.
So is Ben Chilwell at that point?
Absolutely not. They had nowhere near similar seasons.
He's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation.
Well, one of them won. You're right. One of them won the Champions League. The other one didn't do anything. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't going.
But, yeah. No. Just silence.
Yeah. I guess I meant to say is that their back four is going to be a bit more defensive because their midfield and attack is so offensive, which is I still don't get. I'll never really get why they didn't select Teo, at least to have him on the bench as an option. Mm-hmm. But we're not the people that make the decisions, so we just kind of have to respect what's made. But I think that, I mean, are we all going to agree that France is going to win the whole thing or on paper should win the whole thing?
Yeah. Luke and I do. Do you agree?
No, France is winning it. And if they don't, then that's just sad because
it's not a disappointment.
Such a disappointment. They by far have the best team.
Man, they're so good. Nobody is
close.
Is Yedder called up?
Yeah.
I would say it's kind of a disappointment if France didn't win, but it's also hard to at the beginning of a whole tournament say they have to be the one team that wins. It's like in the NBA, there's not really one team that you're like, oh, they have to win. Like there's always going to be a few that you think could win. So when you say France should win, you also have to take into consideration Portugal, Germany, maybe. What's the big one?
Belgium. Belgium's right now.
Okay. Before we end, obviously we're not going to talk about Hungary. Szoboszlai isn't even playing in the Euros because he's injured.
They've got Gulashi.
One more thing. This is not going to happen in the Euros, but let me just say this. If Olivier Giroud scores 5 goals at the Euros, he will be up there with Thierry Henry as the leading goal scorer in France's history. 6 more goals and he breaks the record, I believe.
I think he will do it.
He will do it. Maybe not in the Euros because Benzema will get playing time if he's healthy. Yeah. If Benzema's hurt, Giroud he's got a chance.
Really? I'm saying Benzema fit, Giroud scoring 6.
I hope so.
Think about how many games they're going to play. He's going to get.
And Giroud does come on quite a lot.
Guys, I hope so. I
love Giroud.
Plus, Benzema, if he's coming back from an injury, we don't know how serious it is, then maybe he's not.
It's a dead leg.
Oh, is it?
Okay. It's not an injury. Yeah.
France is winning it, boys. That's what we're all saying.
Yeah.
Should we move into the game?
We shall. Guys, I just want to say, inside the history right now. This is the longest episode of Inside the D history.
Yeah, most definitely.
Hour 27, but I started the timer a little bit late.
All right.
Let me get my whiteboard.
We've got a bit of a shorter game today because we're already at a long episode. Three questions.
Oh.
It's Euro themed.
Okay.
We're gonna start it off not easy, but easy to guess. Who won the 2012 Euro? Italy, Spain, Portugal, Greece.
Okay, you could stop reading the.
Good job. Yeah. All right.
The most dominant question team of our generation.
Question that number team was two. So good.
You could wait. Do you have 5 questions or just 3?
3.
Oh.
Question number 2.
Yes.
Who missed the penalty for England in the 1996? Euro semifinals
against who, or do we not?
Germany.
Okay.
Alan Shearer.
Oh, that's a bollock.
Gareth Southgate, Stuart Pearce, or Sol Campbell?
Can you repeat the first three? The first two, sorry.
Shearer, Southgate, Stuart Pearce, Sol Campbell.
I don't know this.
Luke?
I'm not writing out the full name, so I'm just putting a letter. Go.
Stuart Pearce.
Well, 1996.
No chance it was. Semifinals. Well, it wasn't Shearer, right?
A young 25-year-old by the name of Gareth Southgate.
Wow.
Missed the penalty for England.
Luke, did you get that?
One of the most infamous moments in his career. I just watched a whole – Chris MD did a whole, like, docu-thing with him. And it dove into that. And I forget who it was versed, but in the World Cup, one of the – some player on another team, they went to pens and he missed the penalty. And the first thing that Gareth Southgate did was went up to him because he said, like, I know what you're going through right now.
I was expecting that World Cup one, but then you said
– And the third and final question –
2-0, by the way.
What do you mean? No, it's 2-1.
But oh, yeah. 2-1. I'm still winning.
Wait, it's 2-1? What are you talking about?
Oh, he's both got the first one.
If I get this and Luke doesn't, can you make up a question in your head for a tiebreaker?
Sure.
Yeah.
Who has the worst odds to win the Euros this year?
I'm gonna look at
out of these teams. Because there's a three-way.
No.
No.
No, I was looking at my notes.
There was a three-way tie, but only one of those teams I put into here.
Okay.
Is it Slovakia, Ukraine, Hungary, or Wales?
I mean, I feel like Luke's got this one as well.
Yeah, we both put the same thing, so I've won it.
Yeah.
They're not getting out of their group.
That's what
it doesn't matter.
You're both wrong because it just is Slovakia.
No, but it doesn't matter because we put the same answer, so I've won. But
well, it does matter. We both got it wrong.
Yeah, Hungary is plus 40,000. Slovakia is plus 50,000. Tied with North Macedonia and Finland.
Before you said the answers, I was writing down North Macedonia.
I was actually writing down Scotland.
Really? That low? They have a chance of making it out of the group.
Jeez.
Hungary has no chance of making it out of the group. Zero. So,
well, that's why I put Hungary.
Yeah. So,
I wish you did five questions. I was really excited, but now I've lost.
We're at 100. We're
reigning champion.
35. Right,
Spain is. I realized. I think I saw a graphic on this earlier. Spain won the 2008 Euros, the 2010 World Cup, and the 2012 Euros. I mean, how dominant can you get?
Xavi Busquets Iniesta era.
Quick question before we end this. The Spain dynasty that they had in the 08 and 12, or in 2010 and 2012, is this something that France can do?
Not to that level. Well, not to
absolutely to that level.
They've already got a World Cup. I think, they could get a Euro.
If they go Euro,
I think it's different.
Why?
I think it's different.
Because Xavi Iniesta.
Xavi Iniesta and Busquets played for club and country together. And they were so dominant for both.
Yeah, but that's their individual status.
Like, but I don't think it's individual.
As a country, though. I mean,
no, France, but without one, you can't have the other. Without the other, you can't have one.
But what I mean is
the three of them together are what made both Spain and Barca so good.
Right, but can France as a national team get to the same level that Spain did in terms?
Most definitely.
I mean, they're. We're gonna. There's a whole other episode of World Cup 2022. Obviously,
we'll get there
for a very long time. But okay. So I was just curious because I saw that and I forgot how dominant Spain was when we were younger. But anyway,
turns out they were really good.
Inside the D history, over an hour and a half for this podcast, and hopefully I don't fall asleep while editing it. We have to go to school tomorrow, which is terrible, but. That does it for this episode of Inside the D. We will keep you guys all updated during the Euros. Eco will be leaving the country, so hopefully we can work a way around that and try and film as many episodes as we can. But thank you for joining us on this episode of Inside the D, and we will see you in the next one.